Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've been exploring the issue of domestic violence in pop music, and we turn next to a pianist who's lended her name and talent to charities that tackle that very problem. The French pianist Hélène Grimaud is one of today's most visible pianists, known for her performances on behalf of groups like Amnesty International, as well as the Wolf Conservation Center, which she founded a decade ago in Westchester County. She's also known for her grand concept albums. The latest is called simply Bach, and on it she combines keyboard works by Bach with piano arrangements of works he wrote for other instruments like the violin and the organ. Hélène Grimaud joins us today in our Soundcheck studio. It's nice to have you back.
Thank you very much.
I don't know how much of the first part of the program that you heard, but, I mean, you've worked with Amnesty International and done concerts for groups that are espousing, you know, what do we do about violence towards women. Is that a subject that's particularly close to your heart?
It is, like it is with, you know, any violation of human rights. But the only thing you can do is just awareness and more awareness. You just have to keep bringing the subject in front of people and tell them that, you know, there is no acceptable threshold of tolerance for any of this. But you know, I think that often humans, especially women, can be self-conscious about these situations and feel perhaps partly responsible or feel as if they've pushed someone into a corner which forces them to become violent and that they are partly at fault. And of course, I mean, there is no excuse for this, no matter what might have led to this unacceptable behavior.
You know, we had that caller a few minutes ago talking about her daughter saying, well, you know, he was probably mad because she had a sexually transmitted disease. And so, you know, the idea of finding excuses, finding a reason for unreasonable behavior.
Exactly.
That's one of the things that you have to work against when you're kind of...
Exactly. But all you can do, I mean, you just have to talk about it as much as possible and to remind people and reiterate as many times as is necessary that again, there is no acceptable excuse that laying a hand on another human being is just not tolerable. That's it.
Now, it's you know, it's one thing in pop music where you can write a song about it. In the classical music world, you know, especially as a pianist where you're dealing pretty much exclusively with instrumental music, how do you get a message like that across? Is it simply by showing up and, you know, giving your skills and your musicality to these organizations?
Of course, there are many ways to do it, and you know, one feels often that nothing is really quite good enough. Though you can help raise money, but of course it seems at least I enjoy the chance to you know, verbally participate. But it doesn't have to be either. I mean, there are people who are quite effective at showing support in other ways, and you know, at the end of the day, if you question the value of classical music in helping with these various causes, and one can be skeptical, of course, about the results they can achieve, but it's you know, then we're back to what Dostoevsky said about beauty saving the world. And so I think as an artist, you come to live out light, and you hope that in bringing, you know, beauty, isn't, of course, nothing to do with plastic beauty, something to do with you know, the spark of the spiritual from within, and that this inspires people not only to look at things the way they are, but the way they could be. Mm-hmm. And in having this perspective and this vision of how things could be, that is the surest way that they will actually achieve that.
I think that's one of the reasons people are so surprised when they hear of artists who mm-hmm. get involved in this sort of behavior, because mm-hmm. they're the people we expect to bring us to that level of that spark of the spirit. And to find that they're just flawed human beings like the rest of us, you know.
Like, exactly. Like all of us. And that's what you have to remember. But that's...
Now, when you talk about that spark, that spirit, is that what you find in Bach? Is that what's behind this new record?
Well, of course it is. I mean, one of the reasons behind the program was, of course, wondering what makes this music so incredibly powerful to most of us, and what is it that enables it to travel, you know, intact, basically, throughout all sorts of adaptations and arrangements and transcriptions in this particular case. So that was one of the reasons for juxtaposing what I think is one of the purest incarnations of Bach's music, the Well-Tempered Clavier, and these transcriptions by other great pianists and composers such as Busoni, Liszt, and Rachmaninoff.
Well, now, Busoni famously took the Chaconne for solo violin from the Bach Suite No. 2 for violin, arranged it for piano. So when you talk about that music that kind of, you know, it endures through time, it endures through all these different arrangements, this is really a very different thing from what Bach originally intended. Is it still, do you still get that, the essence of Bach in this Busoni arrangement?
I personally still do, and I believe that all people who've been exposed to the transcription, not necessarily in my version, have been as well. And it's quite a demanding art, the art of transcription, and I do believe that these three are really models of the genre. I mean, of course, I could have chosen different pieces from these same composers or different transcriptions by different composers too, but these three are, I think, absolutely remarkable.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the Ferruccio Busoni Chaconne in D minor, his arrangement of the Bach Chaconne in D minor, I should say, from the new record called simply Bach by my guest Hélène Grimaud. Just a little bit of the Chaconne in D minor by J.S. Bach in the Ferruccio Busoni transcription for piano, played by Hélène Grimaud. Her new album is called simply Bach, and she is in fact doing a Bach recital Saturday at the 92nd Street Y, and then a free midday concert with the Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie of Bremen at Alice Tully Hall next Wednesday at 1 o'clock, in which she'll be playing the Bach piano concerto in D minor. Hélène, you've been a regular guest of ours over the years, the many years that you were living here in the States, and you've recorded a number of albums. You waited to do this album of Bach. Why?
Well, you know, one of my first teachers, Pierre Barbizet, said to me, you know, that this music, and he included Beethoven, but of course the main emphasis was on Bach, that, you know, you have to, even if you don't choose to play this music in public, that it has to be part of your private life on a daily basis. And I'm
and
very
has it
thankful,
been for you?
Yes, I'm very thankful that I followed his advice. So I've been, you know, living with all the preludes and fugues forever. And so it's something that, you know, either you feel, I've often said that there needs to be a sense of inevitability to what you do. So if you do this, but you could just as well be doing something else, then I do believe that artistically you should actually refrain then from doing either. So, but and this is no guarantee of anything at the same time, but I think it's one of the starting points. I mean, that you should only do it if you cannot imagine, you know, being able to live without this. And it has to, and you feel this. I mean, you know when you're ready for this. It speaks to you. It wakes you up at night. The music is, you know, eating away at you. So it's pretty clear. There's no guessing, no wondering. It's a clear sign. And
It almost sounds like you didn't make a decision to make this record, that it decided you would make it.
That's right. And I know that sounds strange, but I also have, and with other pieces as well, not only Bach, but it's true. There is a sort of mutual choice which takes place somehow. You know, things resonate a certain way within you, and it's also a sign they're giving you. But this repertoire is of course, such a... I know everything's been said, and of course it is the Bible in a way. In a way, it isn't. Also, because Bach himself, you know, when you call him the father of all music, it's of course again true in many ways. But at the same time, Bach wouldn't be Bach without Palestrina before him and many others. But this music has probably yes the most universal power of all of them.
Well, and you used the word spirit or spiritual before, and you know he was a religious man, and many of his scores had the little. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloria, mm-hmm. to the greater glory of God at the top.
Yes,
is this somehow religious music as well as spiritual music?
Well, for me, it is. First of all, it is something that celebrates the presence of the invisible, and it doesn't really matter. It's more anecdotal what Bach chose to call his God versus anybody else's. That's nearly irrelevant. The only thing is that it really confirms. I can't remember who. I think it was Sioran who said... God owes a lot to Bach, and of course that is indeed true. But so for me, it's mostly about this bridge towards the spiritual world, which connects us to things which are beyond our immediate universe. Yeah.
Now the album is not just Bach; it's very specific pieces of Bach. Lots of transcriptions, as you mentioned, including the Bach Concerto for Piano No. 1 in D minor. D minor, you know, pop musicians often refer to that as the people's key. It's kind of like a joke or something. Is there something about that key?
I do. I absolutely believe that there is. I mean, it works for me, and I'm like everybody else. I mean, it's for me, it's one of the most powerful tonalities. I mean, there's something to do with drama and the tragedy inherent to the human condition. It's really something very special. So it's no coincidence, in fact, that most of my favorite pieces are in that tonality. And in the case of the concerto, it is there on the album because it is the first of all transcriptions. I mean, it's Bach by Bach, alongside Bach by Busoni by Liszt by Rachmaninoff, because, as you know, the piece was written for violin originally, mm-hmm. and Bach gave us the final keyboard transcription. So it's that's why it's there also.
Alain Grimaud is my guest. The album is called simply Bach. As pianist Alain Grimaud told us, this is Bach transcribed by Bach. It's his arrangement of the violin concerto, now a concerto for keyboard, No. 1 in D minor. And Alain will be playing this piece at the free midday concert with the German Chamber Symphony or the German Chamber Philharmonic of Bremen next Wednesday at Alice Tully Hall. She's also doing a Bach recital this Saturday at the 92nd Street Y. The concerto in D minor. What color is D minor?
D minor is dark blue for me.
Dark blue.
Always has been. C minor is black, for example, and G is green. And so, it's just... But that, again, is probably entirely subjective.
So other musicians who see colors when they play different keys will see different colors from
I
what
assume,
you say.
I assume, although I've always been interested in trying to find out whether there is some commonality.
So C minor is black.
Yes.
Do you avoid C minor?
Not at all, actually.
You like the dark?
I tend to favor darkness, yes.
Well, you mentioned the various transcriptions, the Rachmaninoff, the Busoni. We'll end with a little bit of the list. This is an A minor. What color is this?
Red.
Red. Okay. The Bach Prelude and Fugue in a very red A minor from the album Bach by pianist Hélène Grimaud. Hélène, it's been a while since you were last here. Great to see you again. Thanks for being with us
today. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, with the record industry in decline, some artists are turning their fans into investors. We'll talk to one songwriter who raised $85,000 and even wrote songs for big donors. Also, live music from the New Hampshire rock band Wild Light. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Smriti Rao and Richard Rusinkovich. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM, WNYC.